Lord for all he's done for me and let me preach and didn't throw me away when he should have, but he didn't. I was saved when I was 17 years old. At times I did struggle with, you know, wondering if I was saved or not, but it was me, it was my sin. It was me out of fellowship with the Lord, and it wasn't him. And I'd always say, well, Lord, I done it. You know, I believe your word. I called upon you, but, you know, why am I? But until I absolutely got that nailed down, and it's not me, you know, it's him.
Amen. Amen.
Not my goodness, because I have none. But I can live through him. I can live a victorious life over sin and everything else. But I just want to thank him for that. And before I get started, I'd like to go to word in prayer. Does anybody else have a testimony? God, and there is none else. So that's the only place we can go. But anybody else? We want to thank you for this day, Lord. I want to thank you for what you've given me. Dear Heavenly Father, I don't deserve it, Lord. But Lord, I just want a closer walk with you, Lord. I want to be your disciple. I want to get to the point where it's you and you only, Lord. Don't matter if my family disagrees or what, Lord. I want to follow you and always do right. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask you to help me through this message, Lord. I've been reading on this for weeks, and this seems like a struggle, Lord. But with you, Lord, I can do all things. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us. Please be with the ones that this sermon might help, Lord, or something I can say that will help somebody. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, titled this sermon, Warnings, God's Warnings of Rebellion. I know preachers morning had plenty of warnings for us, and now whether people heed them or not, that's up to them. I know it got tight around me a little bit, and I need to do better, and had to do some repenting. And I want to thank you for that message. It was definitely from the Lord. I'm going to start reading in Leviticus chapter 26. Start with verse 13. And it's talking about, you know, Lord telling his people not to rebel against him and do what they're, you know, keep his commandments. But before they entered the promised land, God gave these promises to Israel of how he would warn them if they were to depart from worshiping him. So in verse 13 it says, I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondsmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. And here's the warnings. It says, but if ye will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant. It says, I also will do unto you, I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And when I read that, I'm going to stop right there. My dad's grandpa, my great-grandpa, he was a very sinful man. He was a moonshiner. My dad said that whenever he would run with him, he was about 4 years old, and he would come get my dad. And he said they'd go up and visit. And my dad said he really didn't know what he was doing. But they'd go up and visit one steel he had. He said they'd cross over and go in another holler, and they'd visit in another one. And he said there was times his grandpa would tell him, come on, come on, we got to go, got to go. And they'd just take off running. But that man was so crooked, he thought somebody was always watching him. And my dad said there wasn't nobody there. And I think a lot of times, you know, people's running scared all the time because they have a guilty conscience. They have so much sin in their life. But when I was reading that, I thought of that about that when my dad was, and when my dad told me that. But that's the way we can get. Christians can get that way. And but in the world is definitely that way. But and it says, let's see, what verse was I on? 18, and it says, if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins, and I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heavens as iron, your heaven as iron, and your earth as brass. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And this is number four, the fourth chastisement. And if ye will not be reformed by me, by these things, but will I walk contrary unto you, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hands of your enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall break your bread in one oven, shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and ye shall eat and not be satisfied. And if ye will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury, and I will even chasten you seven times for your sins. Now, and that is God has warned Israel if they go back on him and do what they're not supposed to do, then that's what he's, you know, he's warning them. And God has warns us about the same things spiritually. And in Amos, we're going to go to Amos chapter 4. Not only spiritually, but he can do the same thing to us in America. He can take our food from us and everything else. And he can take our spiritual food from us. In Amos chapter 4, I'm going to read verse 6 through 13. Now, this is where Israel gets reminded of his chastisement or his chastening. He brings it all back to them. God knew at the time, whenever he said that, what they was going to do. And it says, and I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and want of bread in all your place. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withheld the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the other piece whereupon it rained not withered. So too were three cities, one and two, one city, to drink water, but they were not satisfied, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, and your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palm worm devoured them, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with a sword, and have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come up into your nostrils, yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will not do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man, what is his thought that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth? The Lord thy God of hosts is his name. So we have all these warnings, and some of the examples of the warnings we see through our life. You know, we see road signs, you know, high voltage signs. That's one thing I always see. It's high voltage. That means I'm not going to mess around with it. I've been shocked too many times and I don't like it. But speed limit signs, how many of us see that or see a turn, you know, hey, need to take that turn at 35, not 60. And I know there's been, I know one young man, he thinks 60 is 35. And, but we don't heed those warnings. God warns us. He tells us. He loves us. He warns us. And he don't want to chasten us. But, and it's, so I want to think about what happens when warnings become reality. The children of Israel knew these warnings.
Yeah.
They just didn't think wasn't going to happen to them.
Right.
We've lived like this for so long. And that's what you get a lot. Well, everything's fine. Well, this is the way it's been forever. Well, it's coming. It's coming.
Yeah.
What happens when you ignore God's repeated warnings? In Amos 4:6, it says that, and I also have given you cleanness of teeth, your cities, and that cleanliness of teeth means you have no food. They were starving to death. It wasn't because they was brushing their teeth, or they went to the dentist and got them cleaned up. Or I remember them little, I don't remember, some kind of whitening thing I used to see on, I ain't watched TV for so long, but you put it in this little thing and stuck it up there for so long. That's not what that meant. That meant they had no food.
Right.
So that's famine and hunger. And these people didn't have white, you know, white teeth, but because of that. And it says, God done this to show them of their spiritual need and that they needed to turn to Him. So whenever our bodies get weak and start needing something, they should have been turning to the Lord. They should have knew beforehand. Amos was a farmer. You wouldn't have thought, you know, God would use some herder, some sheep man, or man raising his garden out there. And he knew what was going on. He knew enough about Scripture to say, hey, yeah, Lord, I'll go tell him. I'll go warn him. And, but that's one thing I like about Amos, is that he was a farm boy or a farm man. Yet they ignored the warnings and did not return. That's in verse 6. And just like us, we wander away from God. We know we need help and need help, and our lives in need of something. So we know, you know, we need something. I know whenever I, you know, wasn't what I should have been, I knew I needed something. I knew it was spiritual something. And but until, you know, I really started reading in my Bible and knowing, man, I was starving to death.
Right.
And it wasn't nobody's fault but my own. You can blame it on the preacher. You can blame it on whoever you want. But if it's up to you, it's a personal salvation. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You're to read the food. I was starving to death, and it was my fault. And these people were the same way. And God was trying to use their stomachs to show them, you know, you need help. And they didn't come back to him.
Right.
Well, will we heed the warnings to return? In Amos chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, he withheld the rains and the blessings here. And we'll read it, 7 and 8. And also I have withheld the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon and another piece whereupon it rained not withered. Now, everybody can just grow a garden and knows that there's a certain point in time where you really need some rain for your crops to grow. And God turned her off right at the right time. And so you'd think people would say, hey, you know, there is a God, and we're going to go ahead and do what He says. And I'm not talking about just unsaved people. There's saved people that are in the same situation. They're stiff-necked, and they don't want to look upon these things as problems in our society, in our churches. And I've heard the preacher say it. This church is only as strong as the weakest person in here. And, you know, whenever you're weak and feeble, we kind of want to go off to ourselves or get in a shell. We don't want to talk about anything, but that's the best way to do it is to say, hey, you know, I'm weak and I need help. If you're the Christian you need to be, you'll rally around that person, right, and lift them up and strengthen them. That's what we need. Instead of, a lot of times, we'll want to point our finger at them and down them, but that's you're as weak as the ones saying that they're weak. And anyway, he withheld the rain. And it says in verse 8, so two or three cities wandered into one city to drink water, but there was no but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Now, you had these other people going to another city, and this city didn't have enough water for the other ones. And they wasn't satisfied. So this city at one was satisfied until all the rest of them come in, and nobody was satisfied. So no matter how you went, God was going to dissatisfy them because they wouldn't return to Him. And in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 10 and 16, He did bless it. Let me see. Deuteronomy 11. It says that for the land whether thou goest in the to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came out, where thou showedest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whether ye goes to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. A land which the Lord thy God careth for, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, for the blessings of the year, even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart not be deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. So here he had already blessed this land, and now, because he told them right there, he'd blessed it, but he told them, do not turn from me. And that's exactly what they done. So this is why it's happening. And it says, and I said, this land was, this was fruit was given by God's grace, and land dependent upon God's blessing of rain. So it was God had given it rain and blessed it, and if they would have stayed where they was at and done what God said, they didn't know. And so God withheld the rain and held it all back, and they ignored his warning then and would not return. Now God will withhold spiritual blessings from us, joy, peace, long suffering. All those things are blessings from God. I don't know anybody that don't want, you know, your joy and your peace. Even in a world we live in today, as long as you have Jesus and you're living for Him, you will have peace in every storm coming. I used to be one that you threaten to kill me, I'll just shoot you first. But honestly, I can honestly say if somebody come up to me and was threatening me to kill me, I would have peace about it. I don't know. Now, before, I probably wouldn't. I just went ahead and fought them tooth and nail and done what. But I would have peace in death. I know there's a lot of people that die and are in those stages of death and have peace in all of it. And I believe God gives us grace, dying grace, that we'll have peace through it all. And we want, you know, joy and of our salvation and fellowship with our Lord. But they didn't have that anymore. God was judging them. I'm going to ask his question. Will we heed his warnings in return? There's a lot of us that are not where we need to be. Well, how do you know that? Because I've been that way. I know. And I know a lot of times people think, well, that preacher just thinks he's better than us, and he thinks that, he's all that. Well, maybe because the preacher is a little closer to the Lord, maybe he knows because he's been through it. He knows what it's like. And he's trying to tell you that, you know, we need to get closer. Maybe the Lord's burdening him. Maybe he hasn't been through it. But maybe he's burdening him. Maybe he won't let him sleep at night. Maybe he has to get up at 2-3 o'clock in the morning and pray and read his Bible about things that the Lord is dealing with him or putting on his heart. And it's not always an easy thing. But in Amos, we'll go to Amos chapter 4, verse 9. And here we have the hardships. And it says that strengthen the spoiled against the strong, so that the spoiled shall come against the fortress. I read that was the wrong verse. Chapter 9. I have smitten you with blasting and with mildew. When your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palm were devoured them, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, you can see that the people of Israel had grown so far away from spiritual and so deeply into material. God had to keep striking them where it hurt. Now, that's where a lot of times we have, and especially nowadays, we have so much worldly things, worldly possessions, and that's what these people had, that God took them from them. And that's another thing you hear people, God has blessed me with all this stuff. Well, yeah, and all of that stuff that God has blessed you with is taking you away from the
right.
Lord, taking you away from church. There's so many, I know people that through the summer months, they're not in church. They're somewhere else. I've seen it in our Wednesday night class. We're down to 3 and 4 kids at a time because they're out there playing baseball or they're out playing soccer.
That's right.
So, and it's not the kids' fault.
Right. Right.
It's the grown-ups' fault.
Right.
It's our fault. It's the ones that's saying, hey, well, you know, it's okay to miss church for ball, you know, to play ball. It's all right. So, what is it? What's right and what's wrong?
Right.
The kids are so mixed up, they don't know what ends.
Right.
What's right and what's wrong? It's okay to play ball. Well, these over here saying that we shouldn't miss church. Well, when you miss church and you're out there playing the ball, you're telling everybody else, it's not important.
Right.
It's not important.
This is true.
But yet, in that, they still ignored God and would not come back to Him. Sometimes God puts troubles in our life to warn us, but it's because He wants, you know, us to serve Him. And who else are you going to serve?
Right.
Yourself? That's who we normally want to serve, is self. He wants us to empty ourselves, rely on Him, and if we would, our lives would be a whole lot better. I think of Miss Jean. I mean, she's been through it. So hasn't Brother Boyd. But yet they still praise the Lord. She's at peace with it. Yeah, I understand she was hurting and she wants some relief. But I honestly believe that Miss Jean is at peace with it. Brother Boyd's at peace with it. No matter what happens. She sat there and said it. I want that kind of peace myself. And you can't get that if you're not living for the Lord. And again, and some of the, you know, testimonies, it's not ourselves. It's not I, but it's Him. We need to go back to Him. We need to return to Him. And will we heed His warnings? That's what we need to do. In Amos 4:10, you have sickness. And it says, I have sent among you pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with a sword, and have taken away your horses. And I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like sewer. And that's what that stink is that come from the camp. Your sewers are done backed up, and you're smelling them. But, anyway.
Yeah.
And it happens.
Yeah.
They had forgotten how God redeemed them. Now, he took them out of Egypt, took them out of the stink. And I'm talking to Christian people. God took you out of Egypt. Now, that stinking mess you was in, full of sin. And I want to thank him for taking me. I was there. So why are we going back into it?
Right. Amen.
That's what they're doing. Going right back into slavery, worshiping idols and everything else, money and wanting. And if you go on up there, if you start in chapter 4, Amos, he just rears back and tells them what they was. They's a bunch of kinds, they fat cows, fat heifers is what he's calling them. Because they was indulging in all their good stuff. And they was fat on all their goods, but he took it from them.
Yeah.
It says this, and this warning was to remind them that they were redeemed people, and that they belonged to God. So they was redeemed. There's too many Christians that are out wallowing around in the world, and they're redeemed. This is best way I've ever heard it put. The church is so worldly, and the world is churchy. And that's exactly where we're at today. And we need to get ourselves straightened up. And because they don't, it's almost like we're all in one pot. You have a lot of these other churches. Some of them, I don't know how they believe or what they believe, but even the Catholic Church, you can put the world don't see no difference in, well, that's Catholic Church, and these are Baptists, and these are Methodists, and they're all in the same boat. And we're not. We're not. But anyway, and even through that, they ignored God's warning and did not return unto Him. And God, you know, He might use sickness to judge us, and He also might use, and I don't want to say that everything that happens to you, you're being judged. Because you're not, God lets, you know, has sickness to come upon us. Sometimes it's to give us more faith and more trust in Him. And I've said this before, when I first started here, I weighed 140 pounds. I was sick. But God used that. You know, I was depressed and anxious, and a lot, and like I said, a lot of that was sin. That was my sin. But God used those things to chastise me and bring me back to where I need to be. But not all. I mean, you could be, I love Brother Rick plumb to death. But if Brother Rick got sick, and what would I think? Well, Rick was sinning or something. No, I'd say, well, Rick's moving on up. Brother Rick's, he's getting a little closer to the Lord. The Lord's going to use that to get him closer.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I just want to keep growing closer to Him.
Yeah,
closer and closer. In Amos chapter 4, verse 11, you got defeat. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as firebrand plucked out of a burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord.
Yeah.
Therefore, defeat was sent to the self-satisfied rich people. A lot like America anymore. I get kind of sick of our president saying he's going to do this and we're going to do this and we're going to, blast these people into the Stone Age, because they don't. Well, he's not God, and God can very well change his mind. And I believe the only way America's standing today is some of these Christian people down on their knees praying. And if we ever, for one minute, ever let up, our nation is gone. It's almost there now. But we haven't seen nothing yet. We could very well be defeated by Iran. I think it was back in the 70s. Egypt, or Egypt, and I think there was a few other little countries there, went against Israel. It's called it a 7-day war, I think it was, or 6-day war. And Egypt was going to push Israel, and I think Syria and a couple of them other ones was going to push Israel right out into the ocean. And within 7 days, Israel had took the Egyptian tanks and all the other tanks, turned them around, and ended up, those people was against the ocean. They was being pushed out into the ocean. And it could very well happen to America with our ignorance and pride until we, as a nation and our leaders, we need to pray for our leaders, get to the point where they need the Lord and realize that He is God and they're not. We really need help there. But we definitely need to pray for our president and our leaders. And it says God has used Syria, and that's the nation round about, to afflict His people. Israel, letting them to be defeated, letting some of them being sold as captive. Even in these defeats, God spared the nation as a whole, being gracious and loving, continuing the appointing of their repentance and opening the door for reconciliation. And God is a forgiving God. If He can forgive me, He can forgive anybody. And He will forgive them. He wanted to forgive Israel, and He did. And He wanted them to come to repentance, and He wants you to come to repentance. But they ignored they always ignored his invitation, and that's where a lot of us at times. Sometimes God allows defeat in our lives. How can God, you know, maybe we'll lose our jobs and maybe we'll lose things, worldly things, but He's wanting us to come to Him. And I've even talked to my wife. I'm willing to give everything I got up for the Lord. There's nothing on this earth I want except for the Lord.
Right.
And I'm not ashamed of Him. He is my Lord. He's my Savior. And He give it all for me.
Yeah.
And I didn't used to be that way, I'll just tell you. But God always allows things to bring us back to Him. Will we heed His warning and return? Are you here tonight? You know, is there something in your heart saying, you know, I need to get this right.
Yeah.
I haven't been what I need to be. Are you here tonight and not saved? Are you out in the TV or the YouTube watching it? Or is there something missing in your life? Is there somebody here that's not saved? And the Lord's saying, hey, I want a fellowship with you.
Yeah.
I'm willing, you know, for you to return to me or come to me. I'm willing, you know, for the Christian, the saved one, to say, hey, I'm ready for you to come. I'm here. I'll pat you on the back. I'll pick you up, clean you off, love you. And He will. He's a good God and a gracious God and a forgiving God, but He's also a wrathful God, and He will not put up with the things that of the world, and especially Christians being in the world. In Amos 4:12, and it says, therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God. Are you prepared to meet your God? You know, and that goes back to, if you're not saved, you're not prepared to meet God. And if you're not living the life as a Christian that you need, you're going to meet God. And it's not going to be good. Yeah, you'll get to heaven. Yeah, I think that's what a lot of Christian people think. I know I used to be, I'd be all right. You know, what's a crown? I want them all. I want all the crowns. Yeah. It used to be, I got soul winner's crown. That's good enough. That's one. God's worth more than one crown, is He not? Jesus is worth more than one crown to you. And that's the only one I'd ever... Well, two. I'd have had two. But I want them all. I want to lay them all at His feet. Tell Him how thankful I am of what He done for me. So, it says... At some point in time, we're going to meet our God. And we're going to need, we're going to need Him. One way or the other, we need the Lord. We need, as a Christian, we need Him for our walk. As an unsaved person, you need Him for your salvation.
Yeah.
He is the way, the only way, the truth, and the life. And no one cometh to the Father but by Jesus Christ. And we need Jesus Christ. So, if there's any warnings that God has spoken to you, you need to get them right.
Right.
We have a song of invitation.